The streets of Ramadi exploded with gunfire as our SEAL team walked into an enemy ambush. Bullets smashed into concrete walls around us, and with no cover in the narrow street, our only defense was overwhelming firepower. This wasn't just another firefight. It was a visceral reminder of leadership's ultimate dichotomy: caring deeply for your team while accepting necessary mission risks. When Mark Lee was killed protecting his teammates and Michael Mansour sacrificed himself by diving on a grenade to save others, the weight of command became crushingly real. "We are responsible. That's what being a leader is," Jocko told a grieving platoon commander. This balance between mission accomplishment and team welfare isn't just a military challenge. It's the core struggle every leader faces, whether in combat or the corporate world. The most effective leaders aren't those who choose between opposing leadership qualities, but those who find the crucial balance point between them. This delicate equilibrium is what separates exceptional leaders from merely good ones. After Fallujah missions, our protocols were meticulous. Vehicle checks, blacked-out travel through dangerous streets, immediate refueling, and thorough e-briefs while still in gear. Initially, I micromanaged every operational aspect, feeling I needed to prove myself, which prevented my junior leaders from developing. When operational tempo increased with multiple simultaneous missions, I had to delegate. The results were stunning. My junior leaders executed with unexpected confidence. I realized my micromanagement had been stifling their growth all along. This reveals a fundamental leadership paradox. Micromanagement kills initiative and creativity, turning team members into automatons awaiting direction. Yet hands-off leadership creates different problems, unfocused plans that exceed authority, causing people to work at cross-purposes. The solution? Communicate the destination clearly, but let your team determine how to get there. Build confidence by gradually increasing their authority. When you become the easy button for every question and problem, step back and let your leaders think for themselves. Orange tracers streaked just feet over our heads on a Ramadi rooftop-friendly fire from a U.S. tank. Breaking protocols, I switched directly to their frequency. "Cease fire! Cease fire! You are shooting at friendlies!" The shooting stopped immediately. My ability to program that radio likely saved our lives. When Jocko discovered many SEALs couldn't program radios, he didn't explode in anger. He calmly set a clear boundary. If you don't know how to program them by the next mission, you're not going outside the wire. By the next operation, every SEAL had mastered radio programming. This exemplifies a crucial balance: being resolute without becoming overbearing. Every leader possesses finite leadership capital that must be spent wisely. Wise leaders prioritize areas where standards cannot be compromised while allowing flexibility elsewhere. Consider the executive who enforced a no cell phones policy in meetings. He believed this showed strong leadership, but was actually wasting influence on trivial matters while facing resistance on important initiatives. True leadership isn't about power displays. It's about knowing which hills are worth dying on. In Ramadi, Task Unit Bruiser SEALs operated as a unified organism, communicating through subtle head nods and body language without words. This seamless coordination resulted from 12 months of rigorous training. Every leader faces the challenge of maximizing team performance. During a simulated urban combat exercise, a SEAL platoon descended into chaos when their chief was declared down. The officer who should have assumed command appeared disoriented, frantically radioing, "Where is everyone?" as SEALs scattered for cover. This was only training: paintballs instead of bullets, non-lethal simulators instead of real explosions. As Jocko recognized, every combat leader must be humble or get humbled. And learning humility in training is far better than learning it in battle. Effective training programs push teams beyond comfort zones, so they learn from mistakes in controlled environments rather than life-threatening situations. Training should be challenging but not crushing, realistic yet focused on fundamentals, and repeated until mastery. Leaders who never push teams outside comfort zones create units that falter under genuine pressure. While leaders must develop individuals, they must also recognize when someone simply isn't capable. Most underperformers don't need firing, they need better leadership. However, after exhausting all improvement efforts without success, continuing to invest in them diverts resources from other team members and priorities. In Viet Ram, across the Euphrates from Ramadi, confusion arose during an operation when reports mentioned possible coalition units in indigenous clothing nearby. The overwatch team spotted military-age males moving tactically, creating potential friendly fire risk. When gunfire erupted, despite uncertainty, Jocko chose the aggressive option, ordering execute, execute, execute. This decisive action succeeded. The team captured insurgents and discovered weapons caches. Problems rarely solve themselves. A leader must take aggressive action. Default aggressive should be a leader's mindset. Yet, aggression must balance with careful assessment to mitigate risks. Being overly aggressive without critical thinking is reckless. Consider the CEO who planned immediate expansion based on anticipated growth. Despite her enthusiasm, the company had limited capital and unproven sales teams. True aggression meant mitigating risks and creating contingency plans, not taking catastrophic gambles. During my first firefight in Baghdad, confusion erupted as SEALs scattered in different directions. Falling back on standard verbal commands from training, contact right, followed by online, and shift right, immediately organized our response and got everyone behind protective barriers. This disciplined, not rigid principle shows that while discipline equals freedom is powerful, excessive discipline can stifle thinking. Standard operating procedures provide teams a foundation to deviate from when necessary. The balance is crucial. Too many strict processes prevent leaders from using their most valuable asset, their brains. A sales team learned this lesson when rigid scripts and processes led to declining numbers. They had become too perfect, following procedures precisely but making no personal connections with customers. By loosening structures and emphasizing relationships over protocols, they restored balance and improved results. As ground force commander in one of Ramadi's most violent neighborhoods, I spotted what seemed like an ideal building for our position. But Chris Kyle, our experienced point man, recommended a different location. Though I outranked him, I recognized his superior expertise and followed his recommendation. This proved correct. Over the next 48 hours, our team disrupted numerous enemy attacks from exactly the direction Chris had anticipated. Had I overruled him because I was in charge, we would have been ineffective and potentially lost lives. Every leader must be willing to both lead and follow. Good leaders leverage others' expertise regardless of rank. When someone has specific knowledge that puts them in the best position to lead a particular aspect of the mission, effective leaders prioritize mission accomplishment over personal credit. Leadership isn't about being in charge. It's about taking responsibility. Sometimes that means stepping back so others can step forward. The strongest leaders know when to lead boldly and when to follow humbly, always keeping the mission as their North Star.